I want you to turn in your Bibles two places. We have an Old Testament and a New Testament connection tonight I want to look at. Turn in the Old All right, Ecclesiastes chapter number 3, and this very famous passage of Scripture. Then we'll go to James 4, a very famous passage in the New Testament. Ecclesiastes chapter number 3. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. These verses almost cover every part of the time of our life, just about. It covers a lot of territory. Turn in your Bible to James chapter number 4. Verse 13, go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? Verse 14, it is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. And that little dash between our birthday and our death date is that little time. And I want to look at a thought and challenge tonight on taking time to live. We are pushed in the holiday season, Thanksgiving and Christmas and every other holiday that somebody can make up so they won't offend somebody else. We're just pushed and pushed and pushed to where we don't savor what Thanksgiving's about. We don't enjoy what Christmas is about. We, a lot of times, don't even get time to reflect on the year and go into the new year. There's so many things going on. And we forget some time just to live the days that we have before us. You know, I'm not promised Thanksgiving Day this Thursday coming.
That's right.
I might not even be here. I'm not promised Christmas. I'm planning for it, but I might not live to see it. And the Bible tells us, you know, that we need to do a lot of things in our testimony and our life and our life living unto the Lord and our life living unto man. And I want to look at this, a few thoughts tonight. It's a simple little thing about taking time to live. In 2 Peter 2:9, you don't have to turn, but just let, he said, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. And it says that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. We should show forth the praises. Goes a lot with the song, amen. Yeah. Micah 6:8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. And that's an Old Testament thought there that still works in the New Testament time frame, amen. Psalm 119, verse 12, and Proverbs 4:20, we'll cover in a different area. I wrote some other notes, and I was getting ready to jump a fence. Amen. Hold on here. I want to look at a couple of thoughts tonight. One of them is I want you to think about this. This is just a little topical message, but I thought about taking time to listen to each other. We don't take time to listen very well. Amen. We don't listen to God, and we don't listen to each other very much. Now, men, husbands are notorious for not listening to their women. Their husband, their wives, I mean. I am not even paying attention. Y'all not listening. The lady should have said, amen, preacher. And the tourist not listening. You can hear but not listen, amen. Listen to this scripture. This is Isaiah 55:3. Incline your ear and come unto me. This is God talking. Hear and ye shall, your soul shall live. Hearing the words of God will bring life to your life.
Amen.
And taking time to listen to God's word affects our everyday step and life. The Bible says in James 1:19, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. We need to take time to listen. Have you ever jumped the gun on somebody, maybe a husband and a wife or somebody else, your poor children? Say, preacher, this is a meddling message. I can tell where you're going with some of this. And not hear them out, not listen to them. I mean, some of these little kids, they get wrecked over pretty good, don't they? We just open their mouth. And boom, we just, I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking. And then they get through talking and you were wrong. And you have to try to repair some of that. We need to take time to listen before we act. If we respond before we listen. Proverbs is a book full of wisdom and warnings, and it admonishes us many times concerning our speech and our talk and how we respond. And, you know, one old grandma or somebody said, God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth so we could listen twice as much as we talk, but most of us talk twice as much as we listen, or maybe 4 or 5 times much. Amen? He said, I'm not saying nothing, preacher. I'm not going to say amen. I'm not saying amen right there, preacher. We need to think about listening can help us to figure out what the next move is, whether we listen to God more or whether we act upon what we already heard from God or whether we need to seek counsel more from the Lord. I think one of the songs that we were singing tonight, it talks about the counselor, and Isaiah 9 talks about him as counselor. And you notice that's a capitalized word, counselor. That's one of his names, one of his attributes. He is the greatest counsel we could ever seek. But the Bible does not disregard counsel from others. We are to seek a multitude of counsels because if we do, there's safety. How much stress do we have? Distress, uncertainty, and fear because we don't take time to listen. Seek out counsel from the Scriptures or from some others that are saved believers that God has put into our life. And I'm not discounting that there are other people in your life that may not be believers that may have some kind of wisdom to give you. I'm not discounting that at all. But you ought to look at the priority of who we listen to. Ought to be God first and those who value God's word also as much as we do. They should be high on the list before you run to others. Before I'd ever go to a psychiatrist or a psychologist, I'd seek the word of God first. Amen. Now, I'm your pastor. I can't answer all your questions. I don't have the answer to everything in life. But if I point you to the word of God, that's a pretty good direction to point you in. Amen. Pretty good. And you can read your own Bible yourself. And the Bible talks about this, Proverbs 17:7. A friend loveth at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. God's put some people in your life for adversity.
That's good preaching.
And if you haven't had any of those events yet, they're coming. You'll see them come. I thank God for some of those brothers God put in my life for some of the adversity that I went through. In times where no matter how strong you are or how much money you may or may not have or no matter how much you think you got it together, it's an event or a circumstance where you need somebody to listen to you or to tell you, give you a word of admonition or warning, or as the Bible goes on to even say, iron sharpening iron, amen? That we need that in our life. So I need to listen to God. I need to listen to others that God puts into my life. Proverbs 4:20 says this, my son, attend to my words, incline thy ear to my sayings. This is Solomon talking to his son, Rehoboam. Early in the book of Proverbs, in those chapters, Solomon had a lot of counsel and wisdom that he passed along, and he mentioned this many times to my son. How more personal, how more intimate can you get than the king talking to him, his son, not as you're going to be a prince. Yes, he was wanting to call out the prince that would be within his son. He would future king one day, but he called him son. He took time to call him son, took time to tell him some things. And if you'll study this, Rehoboam did not take time to listen very well.
You're right.
When Rehoboam became king, he got influenced by a lot of the people that were peers that were his same age. Teenagers and 20-somethings are very bad about doing this. You would rather listen to them because you're more concerned about what they think than you are the wiser people over your life. And he listened to those younger men in his life, and he taxed the people really hard, and they rebelled, and ended up having a civil war under his authority. If he would have listened, he would have kept things more like his daddy had in the kingdom in areas, and focused it a little bit different. But he didn't listen. Boy, I could preach a whole sermon on how bad I don't listen. Amen. And how it affected me, and how much trouble it brought into my life. And you think about when if we listen to God, we find out that He listens to us.
Amen.
How many times has He listened to my complaints, my criticisms? And He's been a sounding board and filter to me, where I could sort through problems in my life. Amen. Where I didn't take it out on my family. I didn't take it out on my church. Amen. I poured it out to God, and He straightened it out and poured it back into me. And I'm so glad that when you take time to pray, you're going to find out that He's going to teach you so many things, and it teaches us to glorify His name and get into that secret place and get into that time of special time to prayer. We don't take much time to do that, do we? Taking time to listen to God, talk to God, understand He listens to us, take time to listen to others around us. There'd probably be a lot of money saved, a lot of stress, a lot of problems and burdens in life if we took some of these scriptures to heart to take counsel from others, take counsel from the Word of God. Psalms 119:112, the psalmist said, I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes even to the very end. I have inclined my heart, which is implying not just opening your ears, but your whole being, your whole attention is focused. When I say my heart's into this, I'm looking and I'm listening, amen? Not just, looking like I'm listening, amen? I'd say this, there's times, sadly, that as a pastor, I may look like I'm listening, but I'm not doing a very good job of it. I have ABCD and OCD and AEFG and all those things. I didn't get diagnosed with them when I was younger. But as they get older, I know I have. I'm like, talking to a person, I'm trying, I got to listen. I need to listen. I need to pay attention. Surgery dates, other things coming up in their life. And a gnat can fly by, and I'll be like, wanting to look at the gnat. And ladies don't have that problem. None of you ladies ever have trouble like that. But he said, well, what are you trying to say, preacher? Well, if you know you've got weaknesses and problems like that, you've got to put extra effort into
That's
it
right.
to listen. You got to focus harder. Some people, it may come easier, but you need to take time to listen. I've tried to learn to do this when people say, pray for this, pray for that. If the time allows me, and sometimes we're in the line, people are exiting and things like that. But if we're talking and speaking to other places, I try to stop and say, let's pray right now.
That's right. Yeah.
It's hard to do it all the time, but I try to do that. And sometimes I'll even stop while we're talking. Right then when somebody's talking, I say, Lord, please help this situation. Please help their cousin, help their aunt. God, and this morning Tammy was telling me about this friend of hers. She was in brain surgery right then. We're going to pray tomorrow about that. That's too late to pray for that. So I was saying, Lord, this person's being operated on. They could die. We already had Patricia's daughter died in surgery trying to minister to something that needed to be done with this aneurysm. So, we got to take time to seize the day, seize the moments that are given to us, and understand that. Care for each other. Comfort each other. The greatest words I could ever comfort you with are words I borrow from the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, I might have some little inspirational quips and things, but they're pretty cheesy, aren't they? But boy, if I give you some scripture, I give you something secure and established and eternal that you can stand on when the world is gone and removed. That'll stick with you.
Yes, sir.
That'll go with you behind the operating room doors.
That's right.
When nobody else can go with you. That'll go with you and you're walking behind that casket. When you're reminded of those promises of God. So take time to listen to the Word, the preaching, the teaching, the Scriptures. Take time when you're praying. Take time when you talk. Listen to others. Just take time to listen. I think it would affect our relationships, husbands and wife, our children, our church relationship, your job, things like that. I know not everybody plays on the same rules, but we are called to a higher standard.
That's
if
right.
we step up to that high standard, even if your family doesn't, or your people that your neighbors don't, or the people you work with don't, you still stand on that truth and you do that. I believe God honors that.
Amen.
And I believe God will bless that. Because there's a time for everything. And if we ask for wisdom, Lord, help us to know there's a time to be swift to hear. I'll be quick to hear this one. Now I need to be slow to speak. That's a hard thing to navigate. Isn't it the temptation in our society today to answer a man before you hear the matter? Proverbs warns against that. You'll be talking to somebody and he say, you wanting to butt in, you wanting to run them over, you got a better story, you got another answer, you whatever. We don't take time to listen to each other. I know that's hard to hear, but I'm guilty of it as well. At least, or I might be the only guilty person here of it, but I know that there is guilt in the room. Amen. Take time to listen. Take time to learn. This kind of jumped out at me a little bit. Psalm 119, 105. Turn with me to that one. Psalm 119, 105. Many of you have memorized this scripture, maybe when you were younger. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Psalm 119, all except for two places in those 176 verses, every one of them refers to the statutes, the commandments, or something concerning the word of God. And here in 105, it refers this. It says, thy word is a lamp under my feet, and a light under my path. And I got to thinking, little outline for this verse. This, I'm not going to get hung up and preach another message within a message. That is a temptation, but I try to resist those. The power, the lamp and the light, the power of the Word of God. The path, that's my life, that's what I'm walking, and the people I encounter on that path. And we have just a small amount of time to raise our children. My kids, they've grown up. Jared's here. Micah ran off and left me. You can tell him I'm still mad at him. No, I'm kidding. How quick that time goes by when you got those pictures when they're little kids. Little Becca sitting in there, just a flash of time. These kids here that Jerry and Dee have, and Jeremy's got his daughters with him. Well, most everybody anyhow. But you go find time goes by, several years, haven't seen somebody, and you go, wow, where has the time gone? It doesn't stand still for anybody. And I thought about we need to take time to learn from the Word of God, learn from the people God puts into our life. I've gleaned a lot, and I've become a lot of who the people I've come in contact with over time. I pick up a little bit here. We're all sponges to some degree, amen? Yes, don't need to pick up the dirt and the mold. We need to pick up the good stuff, amen? We want to have lemony fresh scent in my sponge, amen? But we pick up, we're sponges, we pick up a lot from different people around us. And think about that pathway that is illuminated by the Word of God. Why does God turn the light on in my pathway? To run over other people? Yes, we're supposed to serve Him and walk for Him, but we're supposed to be, I talked about this in our Sunday school class this morning, we're supposed to be a testimony. Testimony is very important. I can spend my lifetime trying to build it and earn it and develop it and lose it in a matter of seconds. That's a delicate thing, isn't it? A time to learn from God, His Word. We in America are sadly very spoiled to the fact that we have a written copy of the Word of God. Many of us have multiple copies. And I know you hear this, it's on a missionary story and stuff like that. It's sad that that's how we roll our eyes and think of it, that other people in other countries, they'll rip a Bible and tear it apart. We're more appalled about them ripping the pages out than being more grieved the fact that they would take one page to give it to one person because that's the only part of the Word of God they'll ever have their whole entire life. And our Bibles are dusty. We won't even open the cover to read them. Take time to learn from God's Word. I encourage you to read your Bible through in a year, but I would rather that Bible read through you.
Amen.
And you only get a couple of books in than to say, I read all 66 books, but did you take time to let that Word soak into your heart, into your life? Joanna was reading something, I think it was this morning, she asked me yesterday morning. Time just runs together. Ha ha. Y'all aren't paying attention. Anyway, so she was saying something, she asked me a question, you know, and when she asked me these biblical questions, I like to shine. I want to be smart. I want to know the answers to these. I am a pastor. I'm a preacher, you know. I'm a stud of the Word of God. I should know these. And she said something, and I said, let's put my little answer out. And then she brought up something, and I said, well, I think that's what I think it means. And then she got to talking about it, and then I went to the Google universe. You know, so, let's see what that thing says. And I was like, Well, I was partly right, but she taught me something about the snuff dishes in the tabernacle. I said, I remembered. I listened. And she taught me something. And I didn't go like, well, bless God, that ain't what I studied in Bible college. You're wrong. How sad it is that we can't learn something new. And we got to act like we know it all. We got enough know-it-alls, don't we? The Word of God is the know-it-all. And God, you don't ever feel like God's talking down on you. You feel like God's talking to you. And we have the Spirit of God living inside of us so we can learn from God. We read His Word. And have you ever thought about what the word meditation and pondering means? There's even a word in the book of Psalms that means muse, M-U-S-E. And if you look it up in the Hebrew, it's very, I love to do this to you guys. Maybe I'm not listening anyway. But it's almost like the thought of a cow regurgitating its cud, chewing the cud. The word muse means chewing the cud. A cow will eat the grass, and even though it's not ready to necessary, you thought it was done with the grass, it swallows it, and it's, I guess they got more than one stomach, apparently. I don't know. Anyhow, I don't eat cow stomachs. So three, you say? Four. All right, so I learned something tonight. Amen. And so they chew the grass or whatever. They go somewhere else and they sit down and then they blah, they belch it, they burp it back up, and they chew the cud. They savor it another round. Now, I know that's gross sounding, but it's not gross. It's not gross with the Word of God. And you say, well, what did you get when you studied that? Well, the first thing I thought it was kind of gross, and then I thought about what it meant. The cow enjoyed it. The cow loves it. And you said, I don't have to go back over there and redo that again. I already got a second helping right here. And boy, what a blessing it is when you can read the Word of God, you meditate on the Word of God, you try to take some time to learn it. Well, you don't know all the depths of the riches and unsearchable riches of Christ. You didn't just get a master's degree by reading it, but you do get something. You get nuggets. You get some kind of truth that stirs. And it may move you later in the day and you go, man, I heard that. I read that this morning. Those things are exciting when God does that. But many people, they don't value the Word of God. No doubt, probably 25% of people in our church never touch their Bible. Probably a pretty good stat for most stats, amen? But I'm just throwing that out there. I have no idea. I don't look in your garbage. I don't peep in your windows. But can you imagine claiming to be a Christian and never touching your Bible, never reading it, never caring about it, never taking time to learn from God's Word, thinking that somehow what little you learned in Sunday school or whatever IV I plug into you on Sunday morning, that somehow that's all the Word of God you need. Do you understand that the devil is trying to destroy you and sift you as wheat?
Yes, sir.
You need that Word in your heart and your mind that you might not sin against Him, but also for all the benefits of what the Word is. And through prayer and reading and exercising that faith, boy, that moment you apply that, you're really living the Christian life, putting it to work. And the path that I'm living in, as that verse talks about, the people that I come in contact with, I want them to learn something of Christ from me, and I'd like to glean something from them if there's something beneficial to offer. And sometimes even a lost person can be an admonition, a warning of what not to do. Watching the wayward way, watching the wicked way, watching them reject the Word of God. And I've even used that, and you can ask my boys, they know stories of people that I've come in contact in my ministry days. They are number one examples of what not to do. Many of them are in the grave, and they know. And they've even brought it back up to me and talked to me later and said, I remember that situation, Dad. I remember that person. And boy, it warned them, and they wanted to walk differently because of that. We can learn from people in our lives, and sometimes you can learn, be inspired in the good, the faithfulness. We got some really, really faithful people in our church that make even the pastor who has to be here every time, right? They make me look bad. They're here for everything. They're involved in everything. We got some people that they just resonate and represent faith and patience and fortitude and just walking. And I'll just use Brother Bobby. I guess I use him a lot. But y'all, I'm probably the, if you look in the book of impatience there and encyclopedia, you'd see my little picture there going like that. If you want to see patience, you'd see probably see Brother Bobby Usry in there.
That's right.
Now, some of the family may, oh, you don't know my daddy. Well, I don't know everything about him, but that's the man who, when the lawnmower had nothing else but for him to put lock pliers on the handle knob, he drove it and cut grass with it at the church. That grass would have not got cut. I'd waited for the steering wheel. Or I would have done something else. But he put the lock pliers and drove that thing all over, spinning around. That's amazing to me, amen. We worked on another lawnmower. We got so many lawnmower stories. You wonder why I want a new lawnmower. We were working on another lawnmower one time. We were trying to pull it up and hoist it up so it could work underneath it. And every time we got it up, it fell down. Every time we got it up, it'd fall down again. Over and over and over. And Bobby would go all day long with that thing. And I was like, ah! Let's just destroy it, amen, so nobody can cut anything. I didn't say that to him, but that was my patience. And I walked away. I was over here, Lord, I don't got time to do this all day. And Bobby kept messing with it. He got it to work. He just kept on going. And the first time I met Bobby, one of the first time we were cleaning downstairs, there was some old fan that goes in an air conditioner or something. I was trying to throw everything away. There's a time to throw things away, cast things away. That's what I was doing. And Bobby said, no, we might need that. I was like, oh, no, we don't need to hold on to that. Well, about 2 months later, a fan went out on one of our air conditioners. And guess what? We had an extra one that I would have thrown away. But we had it. And I learned something there. I learned a lesson there. There are a lot of lessons like that. You young people can learn from some older people. And we all can still learn in life. If you think you've gone along long enough, even some of you, I'm warning you, some of you 80s ladies and people, amen, you can still learn things in life as long as you're alive. There's still things. You don't know everything about the Word of God. You don't know everything about life. They're still discovering species that are on our planet that they didn't even know existed. There's so much that we don't know. We need to take some time to learn. And that multitude of counselors, get some good, smart, godly, God-fearing, God-seeking, God-walking after people in your life and listen to them. As Proverbs 27:17 said, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. We sharpen each other by spending some time together and shooting some scriptures back and forth together, just being around one another. You ever been around some toxic people that they didn't sharpen you at all? They dulled you. They dulled your ability to cut. They dulled your ability to knife through the foliage of life. But boy, you get around some godly people, some people that are going to sharpen you. But you shouldn't just want to be on the end of receiving. You should be also want a desire to sharpen them. I hope you want to do that, amen, to sharpen others. Ask God to make you what you ought to be so you can sharpen others. And also let some good people in your life so you can be sharpened as well from their counsel in your life. Number three, take time to laugh. Some people take themselves too serious. Most of you have a pretty good sense of humor. I've been around most of you. Most of you laugh about something or whatever, but... I mentioned to you that we had a funeral with Sister Stephanie Williams passed away. I remember visiting her one time at Christmas time and sitting in there and her husband, John, many of you don't, some of you know him, but he said, preacher, looky there. And I looked on the mantle and there was these four letters. It's supposed to be Noel. Noel, Noel, the first Noel. He switched them around and put Leno. And he thought that was so funny. And I did too. You can call me whatever you want to call me, but I thought it was pretty funny. And she come out, she was so proud of her decorations, and I said, look at your decorations. She go, oh, I know, isn't it pretty and all this stuff? And I said, well, no, read it. Take time to look at it. And she goes, what? L-E-N-O. And she goes, John Williams. She was going to kill her husband, you know. And we laughed, and I used that in her funeral. And her family was hurting. But they got a chance to laugh at a part of life that if I hadn't took time to embrace it and enjoy it, I'd have probably forgotten. And sadly, I do forget a lot of those things. I don't mean to. But the Bible says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Proverbs 17:22. You can laugh and have a merry heart about you, and it may do something medicinally for you. It may do something medically for you. It may do something mentally for you that God intended it to be, to laugh. And there's joy there, and there's a bond that's there. And it's an interesting thing. How many of you can speak more than one language? Be honest. I don't know. Spanish. You speak Spanish and English a little bit. Piquito, is that the word? Quito, okay, I say I even get that wrong. You don't even speak English good? Yeah, I thought you said I didn't speak English good, and I was going to agree with you. Anyhow, think about this. Laughter's the same way in every language. Some of you have been to other countries. Listening to, I know Brother Jerry's been to Tunisia and some of those other countries. There's a lot of Muslims and over there. You know, they laugh just like we do. I mean, it might be a little bit different, but they laugh at humorous things to them. People laugh. Laughter is like a universal language. You don't have to have a certain way to say, oh, you messed up there, you laughed wrong. Nobody ever says that. I can laugh somewhere in another part of town where they speak only Vietnamese, and I can I can laugh. They would think, I think, something is funny. And it's amazing how that crosses all boundaries and all people, generations of people. Young people can laugh with the older people. I remember when my dad had his stroke and he had to live with us for a while, and he had his own little room there, and it took a lot to get used to that. And there's a lot of pressure, and there's a lot of, it's hard. It's harder to do than people realize it is. We took him in and we had to take him everywhere and stuff, and he was coming to church with us, but his health wasn't good. But he was getting better. But I remember he wanted to have his Westerns, Brother Donnie, because he liked John Wayne and Tom Mix and all those guys. And I said, well, you're gonna have to pay for that, you know. I can't spend an extra $60 to watch Westerns. And he paid for it with his money. He had some, you know, money coming in. We took care of everything else, but I was trying to discourage him from doing it, but he still wanted to do it. So anyhow, he'd go watch his Westerns and stuff. And as time went on, months went by, I come home one day, and he's in the room, in the living room, watching this TV teenage show called Kicking It, if y'all have ever watched that. About a couple of teenagers in a karate dojo, and it's a bunch of stupid stuff they do and laugh. Some of y'all kids know what I'm talking about. And my dad's in there watching this. And Jared asked me, so you want me to turn the Western on? He goes, how about those crazy kids? He wanted to watch that TV show. Because he got to laugh at them. See, he'd laugh at them stupid, and they were funny. And I remember one time, a long time ago, good memories are wrapped around these laughters. I was getting ready to go to work. I was in one room watching Gomer Pyle. Didn't know my dad was in another room watching the same show. And I had to go. I was leaving. I was about 18 years old, 19, I can't remember. I was going out the door, and Gomer Pyle just had put the bucket on his head and sang the Marine Anthem. Y'all know that episode? Well, I come out the door and getting ready to go, and my dad had the TV off, and he was shaking. And I said, Daddy, what's wrong? And he had tears going down his eyes. I said, Daddy, what's wrong? What's wrong? He said, stupid Gomer. And I knew what he was laughing about because it was funny. Yeah. And it was stupid and silly, but it was funny. And that medicine, that mediation that laughter is, it connects people. We've been in some services here where the whole service just was completely taken out of the hands of man, and people were laughing. Some of y'all remember some of those services we've had. I've been in a couple of them in my lifetime. I call them Holy Ghost laughter services. I don't know what you call them. Been in a couple. One at my home church that happened, and one of them happened here. And people got to laughing, and you can't explain it. And you don't come in here as a pastor and say, I'm going to make everybody laugh. And I know I make you laugh sometimes. But this was, everybody was laughing. And some of you were here, and you don't even know why you were laughing. But you were laughing. And some people were crying. We need to learn to laugh at ourselves, not take everything serious sometimes. The Bible says in Psalms 126, verse 2, that his mouth, a mouth was filled with laughter. God, in other words, God sent blessings and goodness and joy, and he filled our mouth with laughter. Put good things in our life, put light. Hardness. How many of you are so heavy-hearted most of the time in your life, it's hard to laugh? Most of the time you want to cry. And sometimes if you don't laugh, you're crying. If you don't cry, you're laughing, you know. It's so powerful to understand that there's a merry heart that can doeth good like a medicine. Some people are so discouraged, so depressed, their life is so dreary, so drab, it's so dark. And when you get around godly Christian people, boy, they ought to be some joy flowing from those people's lives. So much hurt and pain. We sat down today to eat dinner around the table. A lot of times I don't get to do that. We all sat down to eat at the table. And somebody said something. I don't remember where it went. We got to laughing. Jared got to snickering and laughing. And I was laughing. I couldn't quit laughing. I didn't even know what was laughing about. A lot of our memories are wrapped around that kind of stuff, sitting at the table, laughing about stuff. And Joanna laughs. She's an ugly laugher, an ugly crier, too. I'm just kidding. I do. I am very ugly when I get tore up. I do, too. I'm thankful that our Creator, our God, made us fearfully and wonderfully made. Salt solution and water can flow out your eyes when you're heartbroken and so discouraged you can't go on. Yet that same solution's connected when that joy meter gets overloaded and you're laughing so hard that you're crying. Anybody ever done that? Isn't that something? Jared's back here raising his hand. I got a witness to you, amen. He said, "What's the matter? Why are you crying?" "I'm so happy that I'm crying." Are you trying to fight it back or whatever it might be? But it's a blessing to learn to laugh at ourselves. I think sometimes the Lord laughs a lot at how, just like on the 24th when we shoot that dart. I can't believe they named it a dart. We're going to shoot this thing at an asteroid and see what it does. On the 24th, I want you to stop, take time in your day, whenever you hear that news, and think, right now, one thing I know is happening in heaven, God is laughing. And probably some angels and some other people up there too. Watch this, fellas. I don't know. Take time to think about stuff like that. Last of all, going to quit. Take time to lift other people. Jesus in his ministry was lifting a lot of people. He lifts people up from their broken condition, their lame condition when they couldn't walk. He lifted them up or out or brought them out of the withered hand condition or whatever. And one of the greatest examples of all is when he would mess up good funerals and lift people up out of their coffin. And carrying the buyers are carrying him in the funeral position. He stops the widow's son and he takes him up out of there in the middle of the funeral. He has power to lift up like no one else that we've ever met in our life. Lifted me up out of the muck and mire of sin. And God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. He's given us a ministry to be the light of the world as he is the light of the world. And he wants us to pattern or be in the example of his steps. Now, Jesus can forgive sin, and only God can forgive sins through Jesus Christ. But you and I can forgive trespasses against us. And through that, tearing down those things that should destroy bridges and destroy our relationships, we can embrace other types of scriptures and try to lift people up. The Bible teaches in the book of Luke, chapter number 10, talks about the Good Samaritan. And the priest and the Levite, who represent supposedly the greatest elite of the religious world, they bypassed. They left that man who was halfway dead. They left him there to die. They didn't have time. They didn't take time to help him. And the Samaritan, who's a half-breed, who was looked down on by the Jews, who was an outcast a lot of times in society, he's the only one that took time to lift up that man, put him on his own beast, paid his own money, put him up in a hotel room, ministered, poured the oil and bandaged up his wounds and paid for further service of him, taking time to lift him up. Now, I know we got to be careful in our society because we got so many people that are trying to fool people, you know, begging for money on the streets and things, and they go getting a BMW. You've heard those stories. But we're not left without spiritual guidance. The Holy Spirit can lead you what to do.
Yeah, that's right.
And you if you give to somebody, you give it unto the Lord, and you don't worry about the other side
Amen.
Of the story. And you hope that you are really ministering because you ought to desire to take time and want to take time to lift somebody up out of a situation or a circumstance to try to inspire them, try to help them. As this man, this Samaritan journeyed, the Bible said he came where he was, this man who was left among the thieves, and when he saw him, took time to see him, he had compassion. A lot of times we just look and look the other way, don't we? You ever do that? And you'll do that tomorrow if you don't watch it. All these few things we talked about tonight, tomorrow, you, maybe even tonight, you'll be tested. Take time to listen. Take time to learn. Take time to laugh. Take time to lift somebody else up. A lot of times we don't do that. We don't take time to learn to live the life that we're given. Our life is a vapor. I can tell you right now, I can tell you how not to do things. I can show you what not to do, how to do it the wrong way. I can talk about a lot of regrets that I have. But listen, I would rather just say, I'm starting to learn and figure this out, how to live within the moments and to understand that my life is a vapor. And that vapor, as it leaves the heat source, it gets thinner and thinner and weaker as that vapor leaves the kettle pot from the heat source. From the day I was born, I began to begin a vapor that was thinning and disappearing. And so many friends in my life have died in their 40s and 50s. Makes me feel very mortal, wondering if I'll ever be an 80s person. If I'll ever live to be 60 or 70. I don't want to fear that. It can cause you to think differently. But what do I do with it? Well, God's trying to help me realize, well, live in the moment, the gift of the day that you got. Amen. I might not live the 24th to see them, hear them shoot that thing at that asteroid. I might not live. But I'm alive right now.
That's right.
I'm alive right now. One of the greatest things I could do is just fulfill the commission God's given me to preach the Word of God, right, to love my family, to love God, to love our church, and to live this day to its fullest as I can, and to take an admonition from the Scriptures, the Word of God. As we looked at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, a time to do this, a time to do that. So many things you might think are mundane, shouldn't even be thought about. A time to do this, a time to do that. One after the other is listed. Even a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. All these things are listed for us. And I want you to think about what is your responsibility? What is your purpose of life? As Micah 6:8 said, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy? Well, you couldn't pick a better thing to love than mercy.
That's right.
And it'll always lead you to grace. I promise you, you can't love mercy and not end up falling in love with grace. And then the Bible goes on to say to walk humbly with thy God. Walking with God in meekness and humility, not being filled up with pride, not trying to take credit for something or trying to act like you're something that you're not. Inclining and listening and learning, not to lean on your own understanding, but to walk with Him and learn of Him and let Him guide and direct your life. Take time to really live. And there's other things I'm sure that I could bring out, but those are a few points I'm going to get your mind on tonight. When we go camping with our family, and I say our family, but it's none of my family as far as mom and dad or sisters. None of them ever did that. But Joanna's side of the family, they always went camping for years. And we go every year. We sit up outside, set up our stuff, and bring half the house up to the mountains with us. So some of y'all can relate. It's sometimes I wonder, is this worth it? It's so much work. Why do we want to work so hard to move our house up there to live in for a week? And then we'll get through with all the hard work and we'll sit down and eat a good meal. And then every night, and I know Jared, I'm sure Joanna does too, every night if we can, we have game night. And we sit down with whoever's still got any juice left in them. And we play cards like Uno or Skip-Bo or some other little game. We like Scattergories. My mother-in-law, who's 80 now, she likes Scattergories. She loves that. And I'll hear her laugh and cut up. We'll be up to 10:30, 11 o'clock. Those are some of the most precious memories. Not the time that I beat him in cornhole, although those are pretty good. Not that the fish that we caught, but sometimes just sitting around and laughing and just soaking in and living the moment, enjoying a little bit of life. Not much time to do that, is there? If God gives you a chance to do that, and He has, this is the week of Thanksgiving. We ought to be challenged to take these things and meet these needs and do these things, but also to give thanks to the Lord for that little tear of joy that went down your face. Those people God put in your life that they cared about you to teach you how to do it the right way. They could have just said, you're fired, but they kept working with you. They kept investing with you. I remember the first day that I closed. I went the first day I worked at the furniture store. I ended up being there 15 years. But the first day I went there, the general manager, he was over two different stores in the market. He happened to be there that day. He was going to train me, show me how to open furniture. And he put the razor blade in my hand. And he showed me how to open the box, spin it around, pull off the stuff, pull off all the foam and protect it. That protected some of the stuff was, you know, $700,000-$800,000 pieces of furniture, $600,000-$700 recliners that we would sell. And he got me started, and boy, I was so full of zeal and excited. I was just so excited. I took the knife on this recliner, and I went, pulled the box off, and I slide all the way down, all the way to the floor. And I'm sitting here going, well, you're fired. And I remember Mr. Davis. He should have been retired, and that probably was the reason he did eventually retire. He stopped and he said, he put his hand on his hand. He put his hand on his hand. He said, next time you do this, there was hope. He said, cut it along the bottom there, all the way around, and just slowly, gently pull the box off the top. And you won't cut it like that. And we put that in the outlet for the clearance section. One-of-a-kind chair there. And I remember that man, not for how much money he had or how many sales records that he broke. I remember him because he took time, patience with me that day. He could have said, forget it, and I could have went on another course, but he took some time. I'm not that guy yet. I'm patient at times, but most of the time I'm like, get out of here. Move over. Let me do it. But boy, I'm glad God put some people like that in my life that handled me took time to handle me a little bit gently, because it's exactly what I needed in the moment, and I didn't know it. Sister Tonda, if you would come and play something for us. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe there's a few thoughts tonight that might be a challenge to you. Take time to listen to your children and your family, your husband, your wife. Take time to listen to your neighbor. Take time to listen to other family members, your mom and dad, if they're still alive. Take time to learn from the Word of God. Learn from things that God sends into your life. There is a purpose for everything under heaven, the Bible says. There's not a trial or a problem in some of the things. I know some of you are going through some hardships and heavy things right now. But there's a purpose. There's something God wants to teach you. There's something of His nature He wants to reveal deeper to you. There's something God wants to help you with and through. There's some comfort that God can give you that one day you might be able to turn around and help somebody else with it. But if you reject this purpose and the time that God has given you to live right now, then you're going to miss what God is trying to work, produce in your life. Some of you are going to get to be with some family this year that you may not see again. Take time. I was talking to Sister Susie a while ago, or earlier this morning. I had it in my phone. Sister Fran Vasquez had her birthday today, and she spent that in heaven. I believe it was today, right? Yeah. And I had it in my phone. It popped up. And I took time to talk to Susie about it a little bit. I know that means something to her. That was her sister. Even though she's gone, I know that means something to her. I know that still hurts. It's still a tender spot. But I'm glad we got a blessed hope. We're going to see our loved ones in Christ again. Next time we see Sister Fran, there won't be no oxygen tank behind her. And she won't be struggling to grasp breath and try to breathe. And She won't be having to say, "Preacher, I sure wish I could get back in church." Right now, she's in the presence of the Lord around the throne, and she's living have a glorified body in the hopes of the blessed hope we have in the Scripture of the Word of God. Reunited with other loved ones she has in Christ. But listen, these moments in our life, from one year to the next, they're different. I always look around at Thanksgiving and I wonder who will be missing from year to year. Sometimes there are losses and sometimes God adds additions to our families. Well, we ought to be so grateful. We ought to take time to praise Him, to give thanks to Him. Take some time to live our lives instead of wasting them and working them and worrying them away. We do a lot of that, sadly, rather than in just really worshiping the Lord and giving our life to Him, enjoying the gift of the children that God has given you, or the job, or the strength, the decent help that some of you have that others may not have. Any blessings that come into your life. Take time to love the Lord and give Him thanks. Challenge you in your Word, in your Bible, in your reading, in your prayer life. So many times we do this. I don't have time to do that today. I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to do this. We got to take time. Got to take time. It'll be taken from us. We'll have a lot of regrets down the line. How we did not live for the Lord, or we did not take time to enjoy our family. Life is a vapor. Appears just for a little while. So let's use what God has given us. And if you wake up tomorrow, God's given you that day to live in. Live for His glory and honor. Reach out to others that God puts in your pathway with the light that He shines in your life. There's a purpose and a plan. Father, I pray that You help us, Lord, with these scattered thoughts tonight. God, help us, Lord. Be the light You called us to be. Help us to enjoy what we have, what You placed in our life. Lord, there have even been things that have been taken. God, let us look to You. Find grace and strength and mercy and purpose. What lies ahead, what's next, help us learn to trust and lean upon You. In Jesus' name.